Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. As always, I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, the man, the myth, may never be a legend, my partner in crime, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, pal?
Well, you got that one right, huh? I like that intro. Hey, we're having a good time today. I'm going to tell you, we've already had a bunch of laughs, and we got a packed show here.
Woo! Oh, it's going to be a great one. Not only are we going to talk baseball, football, hockey, NBA, and so much more. But we also have a great guest today, Mike.
Yep.
And it's a good friend of ours over at Ranger Nation, and it's sports broadcaster Kenny Albert will be joining us at around the 12:15 mark here to talk hockey, to talk football, and whatever else we feel like chatting about, because Kenny's such a great guy.
Absolutely. Throw everything in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, he does it all. You know, we saw that.
Jack of all trades, one of the best in the biz. Got to respect him.
I mean, what did you show me, guys? 2009, he did four different sports broadcasts in four different days.
Yeah. No, it did 2 days.
Was it 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days, I believe it was.
I'm going to tell you. You know, the thing that absolutely marvels me with these play-by-play guys, particularly ones like Kenny, who are jumping from one sport, one team, to another that quickly, how in the world do you keep all those names and numbers in your head?
You know what? He does it. I'm telling you, Kenny's one of the best. He really is.
To do four different sports in that short a period of time. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you got, you know, like you said. He does Rangers, so you get used to the numbers and the players.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so many great people out there in play-by-play announcers, like Dave Sims from the Seattle Mariners, who's a good friend of ours here as well. You know, when you stick to that one team, I mean, you get to know the team inside and out. But to jump back and forth, I mean, you know, to go from the Rangers, to the NBA playoffs on TNT, onto Fox to cover a Giants game, and then boom, you shoot over to do Major League Baseball playoffs. I mean, that's incredible to have all of that knowledge and to just know it without having to really look at anything.
Yeah, I don't know how you would, you know, I don't know how you do that kind of thing.
Well,
I marvel at it.
I guarantee he doesn't have a planner like I do.
That's, you know, and that's going to be your success.
yes, it will be. By the way, Mike, you know, we have a full plate here today, so before we get to Kenny in a few minutes, let's start off with baseball, something we both want to talk about. But before we do that, just want to mention that Bob Melvin of the Oakland Athletics and Davey Johnson of the Washington Nationals have been named the NL Managers of the Year. Mm-hmm. You know, Bob Melvin, to me, no-brainer. Oakland A's went 94-68, 20-game improvement from last season. Considering they really had nobody and a bunch of rookies, phenomenal job Bob Melvin did. Davey Johnson, you know, he got the Nationals to the playoffs.
Well,
unfortunately, you know, his handling of Steven Strasburg, I think, should have taken him out of contention for it.
Well, that wasn't all him now.
No, it wasn't, but let me tell you something. If your manager wants you to play and he goes to bat for you, you're going to play.
Yeah, but in the NL, I mean,
who else? Regarded, respected, and a proven vet like Davey Johnson?
Yeah, well, but in the NL, who else was going to get it? I mean, Davey Johnson, in my opinion, was a no-brainer. Now, you talk about the AL. I don't know if it's such a no-brainer that it was Melvin. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Showalter, you know, if you could split it, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the Orioles.
Oh, well, absolutely. You know what? I definitely give a lot of credit to Buck Showalter and the Baltimore Orioles. It was an incredible season from Baltimore, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, he flipped that season from last year to this year.
Well, listen, if you look at the rosters and the job that Bob Melvin did with absolutely nobody on the Oakland Athletics, or the job of Buck Showalter did with some proven players on there and some players that people actually know, you got to give the nod to Bob Melvin. 20-game improvement with nobody on your roster.
Yeah, listen, I if there are Oakland A's fans out there, or even if Bob Melvin himself is listening, I'm certainly not dissing it. I think he deserves the credit.
Oh, listen, Mike, you know what? Bob Melvin heard you. I'm sure he's upset.
I'm sure.
And, you know, Bob...
Bob, I didn't mean to do that, man.
Yeah,
I really...
If you're listening, Bob Melvin, 347-237-5373, call in and...
And chew me out.
Yeah. It would be great, though. I mean, you know what? Chew me out, too. That'd be awesome.
Oh.
Okay, well, you know what? Today's Cy Young voting's going to go down. I still say R.A. Dickey's going to win it, but what's going to be the good part is, you know, another team would probably potentially be getting a Cy Young winger for next season. So I don't know. I still don't think he's going to be with the Mets. Ridiculous trade, Mike, happened last night. You know, took us off, you know, everybody off guard, no matter which way you look at it. You know, the Miami Marlins, they basically packed up most of their roster last night and shipped them to Toronto. The Blue Jays acquiring all-star shortstop Jose Reyes, left-handed pitcher Mark Buehrle, the Miami Marlins ace pitcher Josh Johnson, on top of catcher John Buck and outfielder Emilio Bonifacio. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And who did they get in return?
Yep.
You know Escobar, a shortstop with, you know, very inconsistent, a piss-poor attitude.
Right.
You know, a couple other players. Don't even ask me because I can't even say their names.
Yeah. Pedersen Alvarez. And, well, the other two are prospects, actually.
Yes.
One's a prospect, a minor league catcher, and then a minor league outfielder.
Yeah, it's incredible. But you know what? If you look at it now, you know, this ugly, expensive stadium, these ugly uniforms, you know, you bring in all these players from Heath Bell to Jose Reyes to Mark Buehrle. You know, you give high hopes to these Marlins fans, and then – not even a year later, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Including your ace pitcher and Josh Johnson. Mm-hmm. And a fan favorite in Emilio Bonifacio. Come on. I mean, honestly, Jeffrey Loria, you know, should Marlins fans pack his ass up and send him away?
Well, you know, you refer to this as a ridiculous trade. I refer to this as damn near criminal. Okay? When I first heard this go down last night, I was positively livid, and I'm not even a Miami Marlins fan. I'm aware of the fact there's probably only about a half dozen of them out there. But this is criminal almost.
Yeah.
All right. That guy went and held that city up, to build them a new stadium. And then within a year, burnt the team to the ground. All right. This is this guy's pattern. I mean, let's get it straight. He's got a history of this.
Well, yeah.
It's a freaking disgrace. Yeah. This is a disgrace. And I sat here last night, and you and I talked about it a little bit pre-show. I sat here last night, and I said, what in the world, why doesn't Selig step in and stop this?
Yeah. Well, it's Bud Selig, so that's definitely not going to happen. He's for the owners, and I'm sure him and Jeffrey Loria, as tight as can be, they're BFFs, so, you know. But listen, great deal for Toronto. Toronto's going to be a team to watch next season.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, you're putting these guys around Jose Bautista and, you know, a couple other really good role players up there in Toronto. You know, crazy. I mean, but the two people you really have to think about now are Giancarlo Stanton, who already tweeted that he's just simply pissed off, plain and simple.
Right.
And then, you know who I feel bad for now, Mike, is Mike Redmond. Mm-hmm. You know, first time really coaching in the league. And, you know, you give him a team where you have a Jose Reyes, a Josh Johnson, a Giancarlo Stanton and all these other people. And all of a sudden, boom, all you're left with is Stanton.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel terrible for the guy.
So do I. And you got to know he certainly wasn't consulted.
No.
This is an outrage. It truly, truly is an outrage.
Yeah.
I heard some sports talk radio this morning. You know, as outraged as I am, you know, saying, you know, if there was a way to, Loria ought to almost be brought up on charges.
I agree, 110%.
I mean, it almost appears that there was some sort of collusion or something.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, you know what? There's really nothing else to say about it.
$634 million the taxpayers down there paid for that stadium. $634 million.
It's bad. If I lived in Florida and I supported the Marlins and really got excited over last year, I would burn everything I owned that had the Marlins logo on it.
Listen, there should be
new and ugly. You know,
there should be crowds rioting in the street ready to string this guy up.
Well, they should, but it's not Vancouver and it's not the Canucks, so so that's not happening.
San Francisco, huh?
I mean, listen, you look at the roster now. You have Giancarlo Stanton. You have Logan Morrison. Ricky Nolasco still there. Jacob Turner. You know, Nathan Eovaldi. Besides Stanton and Morrison, who do you really build around? What, a Greg Dobbs? A Chris Coughlin? Who? You know, there's really nobody there now. I mean, you went from a team that had a Hanley Ramirez, Jose Reyes, Mike Stanton batting right after them, and good pitching, and now gone.
Yeah, well, and you got to wonder, I mean, is Miami planning, or the Marlins planning, any kind of official, statement today? Is David Sampson going to come out and make a statement as to what their next plan is?
Yeah. You would have to believe that Loria or even the general manager will come out and say something because of all the hostility now over these trades.
Absolutely, you have to make a statement, and at that point then you gotta and you can only hope that the media down there is going to be savvy enough to sit there and go, okay, well, what's the plan and what was the point?
It's
a question I want to know.
I don't see a point. I mean, you know what? Their payroll went from $57 million in 2011 to $118 million in 2012,
right,
on top of building a new stadium.
Yep, yep.
You know, and you know what? I'm reading something on Forbes right now. The public was duped into contributing 76% in public money towards a $515 million stadium.
Correct.
In Miami.
Correct.
So some are estimating that the Marlins' payroll in 2013 now could be as low as $30 million.
Well,
that's such a slap in the face.
And most of that was
in Florida.
Obviously, most of that is financed over years. The fact of the matter is, taxpayers in that area are actually, when all is said and done, they are actually going to end up paying back $2.4 billion.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, man, I tell you,
it's a disgrace.
You know who
absolutely
I really feel bad for after reading something this morning, Mike? I feel terrible for Mark Buehrle. Number one, he follows Ozzie Guillen, who he knows and whom he trusts, down to Miami to pitch for them. From what I'm reading this morning is that he had to go through so much stuff because the counties around the stadium and the county that the stadium is, they banned pit bulls, and he has four of them. They're his family dogs. His kids love them. His wife loves them. Now he's going to Toronto Blue Jays. The whole region of Ontario put a ban on pit bulls in 2005.
Oh, my gosh.
So now, what's he to do? Where's he to live? Because, frankly, I'm with him. I would never give up my dogs, So, I mean, if you look at this, there's just so many different slaps in the faces here to so many different people, fans, players themselves who signed with Miami and said, hey, listen, I'm here to help you win, but then you get rid of me after a season.
Yep. Yep.
Jose Reyes wanted to be down south because he wanted to be closer to his family in the Dominican Republic, I believe.
Correct.
Now he's all the way up in Toronto.
Correct.
No.
And see, again, I go back to my original question and that, or statement, and that was, if truly he was a good commissioner, Bud Selig would be stepping in on this and saying, all right, hold on, back up the bus. We're going to take a look at this before we let this thing go through.
Yes.
And he has every right to do that.
It's a shame. You know what? It really is a damn shame. So, there's really nothing else you could possibly say other than that. And guess what, Mike? It's something I've been saying because I'm not a really big fan of baseball anymore because of stuff like this.
Well, yeah.
The game of baseball is tarnished, and it has been for quite a while. And when stuff like this happens and fan bases have to sit through it, it tarnishes even more.
Well, it's another example, though, when we've talked about fan bases and what happens to fan bases and how we frequently, get stepped on and pushed aside and we're not important. Let's get it straight. When you're starting to talk about hundreds of millions of dollars, who are we? So, this is not similar to other sports, Jonathan.
Well, no, not at all. But then, once again, you say, who are we? We are the people who keep these sports alive.
Well, sure.
But,
I'm going to tell you right now, the folks out in Kansas City who have persevered with those poor Kansas City Chiefs, if you think for one second they're being properly represented by that team, think again.
Oh, well, of course not.
This is going on in every sport.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that this particular case was so damn blatant. This was so in the face. I mean, it was so obvious right from the moment that what this guy did was he went out there and purposely exploded this team. And that is that's criminal and it's irresponsible.
Very irresponsible. Very irresponsible, Mike. It's just really a shame. Like I said, baseball's been tarnished to me for a long time now with the whole steroids thing, and I covered that a lot. So,
right.
We'll see what happens. We actually have the caller on the line, and hopefully this is our guest Kenny Albert. Caller, how you doing? Who's here?
You are correct. It is me.
Hey, how you doing, Kenny?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Kenny, how are you?
Doing very good. Thanks.
We definitely want to thank you for calling in today and taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
No problem at all.
You know, you've always been good to us over at Ranger Nation, and always speak highly about you for that. You've helped us out a lot, and once again, you're helping us out again. So thank you so much.
No problem.
We were just talking about the Marlins and Blue Jays trade last night, Kenny. What are your thoughts on that trade from last night? What do you think about it?
Yeah, that was pretty shocking when I first heard about it last night. My initial thought was, well, I guess Jose Reyes didn't have a no-trade clause with the Marlins when he signed the big free agent deal last offseason. But we've seen it before, from the Marlins. Obviously a different owner, Wayne Huizenga, after their World Series title in 97. And you have to feel for the fans down there. So much excitement last year with the new ballpark and, trade guys so identified with the franchise. Reyes signing the big contract, like we said, last year. Johnson, who's been, a stalwart for a number of years on the Marlins rotation. And Burley, who came down last year as well, joining Ozzie Guillen, his former manager with the White Sox. From a Blue Jays standpoint, I mean, they have to be so excited in Toronto. When you think about the American League East over the last decade, for so many years it was the Yankees and Red Sox, and then three also-rans, and then all of a sudden, the Rays have been a legitimate contender the last 4 years, and then the Orioles come out of nowhere and make the playoffs this year, and it could shape up to be an unbelievable American League East during the 2013 season, but you definitely feel bad for the Marlins fans.
No doubt about that.
Absolutely.
One. No doubt about it. We're hot and heavy, Kenny, into the NFL season, and you're on top of it like everybody else. First of all, what game are you covering this week?
Atlanta and Arizona this week. It'll be our second straight Falcons game. We had the great Falcons-Saints game this past Sunday.
Great.
Okay. And, you get around, obviously, so I guess my first question to you is, as we look over the landscape that is the NFL, surprises? What are your big surprises? What do you think are the biggest disappointments?
Well, I think as far as surprises go, in the NFC you'd have to look at Seattle and Minnesota, a couple of teams with 6 wins. Seattle, dominant at home now, 5-0, and Russell Wilson, he certainly played a lot better than many people expected. I didn't know much about him coming out of college, and you heard a lot more about Luck and RG3 and Tannehill. But, you have to credit what the Seahawks have done. Minnesota won only 3 games last year, and they're right in the hunt. I think Detroit's a surprise going the other way, a team that made the playoffs last year that a lot was expected of this season. New Orleans, I think watch out for them over the next 7 weeks. Like I said, I was down there this past Sunday, and they start the season 0-4, and all the suspensions, both on and off the field, players, coaches, general managers, and they've been surging now 4 of the last 5, and if they do in fact make it to the playoffs, they'd only be the second 0-4 team, a team that started 0-4 to make it after the 92 Chargers, and I certainly wouldn't want to play them in the postseason. As far as the AFC, I haven't really seen too many AFC teams in person, given that Fox does mostly NFC games.
Yeah.
But you have to be impressed with the Houston Texans. It was shaping up to be a good race between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Now that Roethlisberger's out, at least this week, we'll have to wait and see, regarding his injury situation. The Jets, I'm sure you guys have covered the Jets a lot over the last 8-9 weeks, and their story's been well documented. And you have to love what Peyton Manning's been doing out in Denver. So I think there's a lot of parity, as we've seen in the NFL in recent years. And, we didn't even mention the top teams in the NFC. You look at Chicago and San Francisco and Green Bay, and I know the Giants have fallen off the last couple of weeks, but, I think there are probably 12, 15 teams that think they have a legitimate shot at it in the NFL this year.
Would you throw Carolina, Kenny, in there as a maybe a disappointment?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think there's a lot of hype.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done three of their games, and you know, coming off the 6-10 year last year, where they had a terrific second half, and Cam Newton put up the numbers that we saw from him. You know, record-setting numbers for a rookie quarterback, and they've been a disappointment. You know, I know they have some injuries, but so does every team. You can't really use that as an excuse. They have some talent on offense, and early in the season, you know, when I was doing a couple of their games, you know, it was hard to determine what they wanted to be. You know, they have three running backs, when you look at D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart and Mike Tolbert, tying up a lot of money for a number of years, and they weren't really using those guys a lot. You know, it was more Newton in the passing game with Steve Smith and the tight end Greg Olsen. They finally got back to the run a little bit a few weeks ago in Washington. But, yeah, I would put them up there with the disappointments as well.
Yeah,
I hear that. Kenny, you know what? You've covered a bunch of Giants games over the years. Two back-to-back losses for the G-men. Cincinnati basically manhandled them this past week. Andy Dalton looked phenomenal. You know, from the last two games that the Giants had, what do you see as the problem there, and how can the Giants turn it around and get back on that winning track?
Well, I wish I could tell you. I didn't really see 1 second of either game, you know, working games myself.
Yeah.
Obviously see the
yeah.
highlights and read about it, but you know, I know it hasn't been a good run these last couple of weeks, and they played good teams. I mean, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati certainly, you know, among the upper echelon teams in the AFC. But actually, I did catch part of the Pittsburgh game in the airport. I take that back. I had a flight delay in Washington, so I saw a good portion of the third quarter, and it looked like they had it in hand. And then, you know, a couple of plays didn't go their way in the fourth quarter in that Steelers game, and, you know, it just sounds like it was not a good effort at all against Cincinnati. But, you know, it's funny how quickly things turn in the NFL. You know, when the Giants were 6-2, people looking at them as, you know, the best team in the league, repeat Super Bowl champion, and all of a sudden they lose two in a row. And, you know, now they have the Dallas Cowboys breathing up their necks. You know, I know they played them twice already, and each team won on the road, so they won't have another look at each other, at least in the regular season. But Dallas, you know, a team that picked up a big win this week in Philadelphia, and they're only one loss, you know, behind the Giants in the loss column. So, like I said, things change pretty quickly, and Giants have to bye this week. You know, maybe it's good for them to get away from it for a week, and we'll see what happens. I know they have a tough schedule coming up with Green Bay in their next game.
Giants team, though, is kind of emulating a little bit of what we saw from them last year, if you ask me. You know, they got in as a wild card, and it might just very well – I mean, I don't think they're going to get in as a wild card this year. They're probably going to get they're probably going to win the division. That's my personal feeling. But they're kind of emulating a little bit of what we saw from them last year, wouldn't you say?
A little bit. I mean, last year they had that real tough stretch in November, you know, schedule-wise.
Right.
And, you know, this year it certainly looked like they were on their way to an easy division championship. But, you know, it's not going to be easy. I mean, you look at their schedule, and I know Tom Coughlin pointed this out this week. You know, of the six remaining games, Green Bay, New Orleans, Baltimore, you know, very tough games, and Atlanta on the road. So, and they have to go down to Washington. They didn't have an easy time with the Redskins at home. They play Philadelphia in the last game, and, you know, we know how that's gone in the division rivalry through the years, you know, despite the records. So Giants do not have an easy schedule at all. You know, the Cowboys play a lot of the same teams. The Cowboys have Washington twice. They have Philadelphia. They have New Orleans. So four common opponents with the Giants. And then they'll also go to Cincinnati. They have Pittsburgh at home, and they play Cleveland this week. So similar schedules. Cowboys have one more game because they already had the bye. Giants have not. But, you know, if the Cowboys beat Cleveland this week, they'll be only one game behind the Giants. So it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Giants, last year, our crew worked the Jets game week 16 when both teams are, you know, right on the cusp. And if the Giants lose that game, you know, who knows? They might have a different head coach this year. So history turned on that Giants-Jets game last year, week 16 for sure.
Let's stay on the head coach thing there for a moment, Kenny. I'm, you know, I make no qualms about it. I'm a Philadelphia guy, and I'm here in Philadelphia region, and a lot of the talk around here is the Philadelphia Eagles, and it just really looks like a team that kind of is disintegrating internally. Are we looking at Andy Reid as a dead man walking at this point?
Well, it certainly looks like that, looking at it from the outside, in the opinions of many. You know, it's just unfortunate what's gone on the last 2 years there because they had such high expectations, you know, beginning with the 2011 season. But, you know, I will say this. I'm a big Andy Reid fan, and if he is not back with the Eagles, I think he'll get another job in about 30 seconds. You know, you look at his track record, five NFC championship games, you know, only one Super Bowl appearance, but got to the championship game five times, so highly respected around the league. So, you know, 14 years is a long time. You don't find
That's
many
true.
Coaches in any sport, you know, with one organization for that amount of time. And he took
Absolutely.
Over in 99, the year Donovan McNabb was drafted. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Who knows? Maybe the Eagles turn it around in the second half. I know Vic obviously suffered the concussion the other day. So it looks as if Foles, you know, might get the start this week.
Yes.
But, again, you know, if Andy is not back, I think he will not be on the street for very long.
Well, sure. I know you guys probably, you know, you speculate amongst each other. You have to have speculated a bit, you know, if in fact there's a coaching vacancy at the Eagles, who might the next guy be? Are we looking at John Gruden?
Yeah, I mean, just reading, you know, reading the rumors, you know, that name's certainly out there. He has a history in Philadelphia. He was an assistant coach back in the day, you know, before moving on. So, you know, he would have to make the decision if a job were offered or if, you know, if they spoke to him, you know, do you want to stay in the booth or do you want to get back down to the field? Still a pretty young guy. But who knows? You know, there are so many names out there. You know, the Sean Payton contract situation in New Orleans. You know, I know they've been given permission, the Saints, to get that done. So New Orleans certainly has a head start over the other teams that might make changes after the season. You know, we've heard his name in Dallas. He has a history in Philadelphia as well. So
yep.
If Sean does not re-sign with the Saints, and I would think he would, but if not, you know, you can, you know, be sure that there will be a number of teams going after him as well. So, you know, it's only week 11. A lot could change, and, you know, hopefully for the Eagle fans, they can turn it around, but a rough start for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Kenny, let's shift it over to the NHL now because, you know, it's something that you and I have spoken about many times in the past. This whole NHL lockout thing, from what you've been reading about it or, you know, from what you've heard, do you think we're going to have a season this year?
Well, let me preface it by saying I have absolutely no inside information. I wish I did, but I only know what I read, and you guys are probably reading the same thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm somewhat of an optimist. I think we will. I think when push comes to shove, you know, having lost the season back in 2004-05, I would be shocked if this went, you know, more than a few more weeks, and hopefully it ends today. But I was thinking Thanksgiving all along, you know, as far as when the first game would be played.
Yeah.
You know, now obviously it's not looking good as far as that goes,
no.
But yeah, I'm optimistic about it. I hope I'm right, and we'll see if they're playing hockey pretty soon. But it would, you know, certainly be frustrating for fans and those of us who love the game if we lose an entire season for the second time in 9 years.
Do you think that it could be? Do you think this could be devastating to the fans? I mean, I because there's personally myself, I think if there was absolutely no season. That could really, really be disastrous for the league when they finally do get back.
Well, I think, you know, the history, you know, not only hockey but baseball, you know, after their situation in 94 and the various football issues, even basketball last year, I think the diehards come back, you know, despite all the agony and living through these labor situations. It's the peripheral fans that I think, you know, you risk losing. And the NHL had such a great season last year, and the TV ratings were up, and the playoffs were tremendous, as they usually are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the diehards come back. I really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The diehards will be back. You know, unfortunately, you know, a third work stoppage in 18 years, I'm sure a lot of them are going to be a little hesitant, you know, to even touch it. But, you know.
Well, that's where I think it's a little bit – that's where I think it's a little bit different from baseball because, I mean, this just seems to be a pattern with the NHL. But
yeah, unfortunately it has been. But, you know, hopefully cooler heads prevail. And like I said, best case scenario, it ends today and they're playing hockey in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be amazing. All right, Kenny, before we let you go, got to throw in a New York Rangers question here. The roster, from what you've seen at the roster here, getting Rick Nash, you know, we lose a guy like Dubinsky, we lose Artem Anisimov. You know, is this the best Rangers team that they've had in years?
You know, you have to give up something to get something, and Dubinsky and Anisimov were good players for a number of years, and, you know, Tim Erickson, I know, is having a great season in the American Hockey League, a terrific prospect, but you know, in Rick Nash, you're getting a perennial, you know, 30, 35, 40-goal scorer. And, you know, despite getting to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, scoring was still the issue. I think it was 31 even-strength goals in 20 games in the postseason. So, you know, you can't just trade you know, a bag of pucks for a player. So they had to give up some good guys. But you know, as far as the roster, I mean, we saw last year, looking back, you know, this team certainly, you know, could have gone to the finals, two wins away, leading the Devils 2-1 in that Eastern Final. And I think they're right there. I think, you know, you have to look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, if they're healthy, as a legitimate contender in the East. But I would put the Rangers right up there in the top two with Pittsburgh, you know, when and if the season gets underway.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, okay, you know, like every other Ranger fan, we hope we hear you on the radio soon.
Yeah.
Talking Rangers hockey, because we miss it.
Well, guys, it's hard, you know, it's hard to believe that it's November 14th, and you know, we would have been about 15 or 18 games into the season.
Yeah,
but,
you got that right. That's
yeah,
right.
Hopefully they can get it done soon, and hopefully the next time we speak, we'll be talking about games instead of the labor situation.
Oh, well, that would be the better part of it, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That would be amazing, absolutely. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join us. We truly appreciate it, and we hope to have you on again sometime in the very near future.
All right, thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Kenny.
As always, great guy. Love Kenny Albert. One of the best going.
And, you know, I'll tell you, and it kills me, you know, as I pointed out, you know, going into the, you know, as we started the show here, he just got the stuff right there on his head. Boom,
that's,
boom, boom.
Well, that's
boom.
The thing, you know, he's a guy that loves these sports. You know, he's a guy that's just, you know, soaked into it 24/7. And, you know, like you said, he knows everything about each league going. And, you know, no matter what, you know, everybody has an opinion, but Kenny's opinions are usually fact, and it's great stuff that he always throws out to us. So
yeah, I mean, I love somebody like – I really, really love somebody like Adam Schefter. I love him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to know. I just somehow in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, if we had Adam Schefter on, he's going to be sitting there looking at his iPhone, you know, while he's talking to us, checking on stats and things.
Oh, well,
so that he's making sure that everything's right. I get the impression with Kenny, he's got it, like, right there. He knows.
One of the best. One of the best, Mike. You know, it's always an honor to have Kenny with us. So
yeah, that was fantastic. Good job.
All right, well, before we get over to our NFL picks, we have a little less than 28 minutes left of the show. We do have another caller coming in here from 646 area code.
Yep.
646, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Good old
Joey.
Oh, Joey, man. Gotta love Joe from the Bronx.
Yep. I saw the 646, and I said, that's got to be Joey.
Yeah, well, there's lots of 646 area codes out there, man. You know what, Joe? I'm gonna have to write down your phone number here. So
there you go.
How's it going, Joe?
Man, I caught the last 2 minutes of the Kenny Albert interview. I met him last year at a Rangers playoff rally. He's a good guy, man. Kenny knows his stuff, man. He's phenomenal. He really is.
You know what,
I was gonna ask him about JT Miller, because that guy I'm excited about. If we have a hockey season, like I was wondering if he had the shot at making the Rangers as a fourth liner. You know, you saw him on the fourth line or maybe even the third line. But I like that kid. I think that kid has what it takes to only add to the depth that the Rangers have on the roster. So, you know, he's off here now. How do you get your guys' take on JT Miller? I know Jonathan's quite familiar with him.
Well, you know, absolutely, Joey. You know what? I like a lot of the prospects that the Rangers have. You know, will JT Miller be in a Rangers sweater next, you know, if the season starts? Who knows? He's definitely going to get a shot at it. He's playing with the Connecticut Whale right now. 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in 12 games. You know, it's honestly, I'd rather see him with the Connecticut Whale for another season or two.
Right.
Let him grow into himself, because there's so many people there. You got Christian Thomas.
Right.
You know, Kyle Jean, Tommy Grant. Logan Payette, you know, Chad Kolarik. So, I mean, there's a lot of players here on the Whale that could really possibly come up with the Rangers and do something, whether it's an injury or they end up trading somebody off. But, you know, JT Miller is definitely one of those names that we're going to have to look at if there's an injury or if they end up trading for somebody and, you know, and having an open spot.
Where would you put him on the depth chart, though, Jonathan? I mean, let's say there is an injury, because I think that's the only way you're probably going to see him come up.
Where would
you put him on the depth chart?
Listen, honestly, he's definitely my one or two.
Okay.
You know, Christian Thomas is up there with him. If I have to rank them, I would go with JT Miller over Christian Thomas.
Okay.
You know, but if you look at the team, there's, you know, there's some really, really good players going right now. Chris Newberry, you know, he's been with the Rangers already, Joey. 5 goals, 9 assists with 14 points in 12 games. Kyle Jean, you know, he's really going to be something special from what we're seeing already. 5 goals, 6 points – excuse me, 5 goals, 6 assists, and 11 points in 12 games. That's another guy. I think he's going to have to be in your top three on the depth chart coming in from the Connecticut Whale. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be happy, Joey. There's going to be some really good prospects and good players.
Oh, no. Listen, the Rangers are set for years to come. I mean, with what we already have right now and what they have in Connecticut. I mean, listen, Saver, when he first came here, it was all about signing the Fat Cats, and it led to nowhere. Then the lockout came, the season was canceled, and that changed his whole philosophy, and he started to build from within.
I give Sather a ton of credit because he went through a lot being the general manager and the president of the Rangers. You know, from the stupid rallies, fire Glenn Sather that we've seen, front of MSG, to just all this hogwash he's taken within the media and even from these fan blogs. Best thing the Rangers ever did, and I'm going to go out there and say it, was turn around and hire John Tortorella as their head coach after they got rid of Tom Rennie. Best thing they ever did. Why? Because John Tortorella has pushed this team to go in a whole different direction, and we're seeing that direction now.
Yep.
And it's
a very
special team with some very special players. We've seen that last season when they almost made it into the Stanley Cup Finals, but they were that one player away, and they got that play in Rick Nash. And if you look at what Rick Nash did last season and what the Rangers needed in the playoffs against the Devils, Rick Nash could have turned that whole thing around for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Hey, quick question. Two quick notes. One, R.E. Dickey, you guys, what do you think? Is he winning it or not?
Yeah. He'll definitely be Cy Young today.
I think he will, too. And also, Marlins are the most pathetic organization in all of sports. They make the New York Mets look like they're run by the Steinbrenners. It's just borderline pathetic, I swear. But
See that, Joey? You were calling in the other day complaining about the Wheel Ponds. But look, you could have the Marlins.
Hey, listen. For me to say that the Marlins are making the Wheel Ponds look like the Steinbrenners, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
We hear you. We were going off on that mess down there in Miami as we started the show today. So.
No, better learn to like hockey and learn to say F after every sentence.
Jose? All right. Joe, once again, thanks for always calling in, man. We always appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, bro.
All right, Joey.
Take care of yourself, Joey. Love Joey, man. Class act. While we actually had Joey on the line, I actually just got word that free agent outfielder Torrey Hunter has just signed a 2-year deal with the Detroit Tigers, only making them better.
Yep, there you go.
Good signing for them. I know the Yankees were interested in Torrey Hunter, so I'm glad to see him go to Detroit.
Yeah, that is a good signing for them. I think it clearly indicates that Detroit's serious.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're not taking their success from this year very lightly. That they want to take that next step.
Well, look at them. One of the best rotations and bullpen in the league.
Yep.
Great roster. Unfortunately, for the Tigers, I think if Prince Fielder actually came to play instead of standing there, I think the Tigers would have had a really good shot at winning the World Series. So
don't want to get me started on Prince Fielder.
We'll do that for another show when we actually care about baseball.
We'll save that. We'll save that for spring training.
There you go. There you go. And we'll monitor his weight loss as well.
Well, somebody ought to.
Yeah, well, it's not his fault. So, all right, man, let's get to our Week 11 picks here for the NFL, Mike. We have a little, about 20 minutes left in the show, so we can get through it pretty quickly here.
Yeah, sure.
First game, Thursday night, the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo is a 1.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
Yeah, I don't understand the line. Maybe it's me. Yeah, I know it's at Buffalo. I know Miami hasn't looked terrific, in the past 2 weeks. However, I'm going to tell you, I keep doing this, and maybe I ought to go the other way. I keep taking Buffalo. They keep losing. Maybe I ought to go the other way, but I'm sticking with Miami. I'm going to stick with Miami this week, and I'm picking Miami to win this one. I don't understand the line. Can you explain it to me?
Yeah, I can. Bills are better. I mean, sorry. I know you've been on the Dolphins rant for quite a while here on Radio, Mike. But you know what? I'm actually going with Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to win it. They'll cover the spread easily. I don't see a problem there.
All right.
Your Philadelphia Eagles, Mike, at RG3 and the Washington Redskins. Redskins, a 3.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
Well, I've completely lost all confidence whatsoever in my Philadelphia Eagles. You know, am I going to watch the games? Yes, I'm watching the games only with a half heart. No Mike Vick this week. That's already been confirmed. We're going with Nick Foles. Over there, Jonathan, you might probably be applauding and think that that's a plus. I frankly think that it's...
I think it's
a negative. I am going to pick the Washington Redskins.
Oh, I'm going with the Eagles. No Michael Vick and Nick Foles starting? I'm sorry, that's an instant win.
Who does thunk this one?
Huh? Let me tell you, I'm going to call it out right now. Jeremy Maclin, 100-plus yards receiving and a touchdown. LeSean McCoy, he's actually going to run it in for a touchdown. Calling it right now, Eagles are going to win.
With all due respect, I'm going to say this. Now, we talked a little bit about it on Monday.
Yes.
Yes, Foles' numbers looked good, but you had to watch the game. There were some of those plays that were just very, very, very poor.
Of course. Listen, man. I'm not going to discount the fact that a rookie coming in this, in week 10 when, you have a chance of offing the Cowboys, I'm sure nerves were there.
Sure.
You know, Nick Foles is a very good quarterback. We saw that in the preseason. We also saw that at college with Nick Foles. I'm going on the record right now. Philadelphia Eagles are winning this game, Mike.
College, man. Arizona.
I'm sure the city of Philadelphia wants to kick you out of Pennsylvania right now, Mike.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's an awful lot of fans down here that would like to see. There's an awful lot of fans in Philadelphia that would like to see the Eagles go 0-7. All right, and that would ensure the fact.
I'm not saying the Eagles are going to turn around and win the playoffs. I'm saying that they're going to beat Washington Redskins.
All right, well.
Redskins are just as bad as the Eagles, but I think with Nick Foles there, I think they have a better shot. So, future of the franchise, Mr. McShane, remember that.
We will see how it goes.
We will. And remember, I'm usually 40-50, so.
Well, hold on. We didn't announce the new standings. I am one game ahead of you. I've got a commanding lead here, Jonathan. I have 68-49, and you are 67-50, and I have taken over.
That's fine because you know what's going to count? It's going to count towards the end of the season when I whip some boot. Boots to asses, like the Rock says.
All right.
Here we go. Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Green Bay, a 3.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
Yeah. I'm not convinced that Detroit is back yet. They went down badly again last week. I don't know. This Detroit team is just
–
I don't get it. They're schizophrenic. This is not the same team as last year, and I just don't get it. I'm going with Green Bay on this one. Three and a half. Take Green Bay and take the points.
I'm going with Green Bay and the points as well. But, you know, before we get to the next game, Mike, what the hell is going on with Detroit? They're not a bad team. They have a very good offense, a very good defense. To me, their only negative spot is their running backs. And yet they still can't do anything.
Well, and Stafford looks horrible, but at the same time, a lot of it is not the fact he's throwing so poorly. It's the fact that I have in many of the games that I have seen, his receivers are just dropping the ball.
Yeah, well, all right.
They're not in the right position.
Let's look at this. Calvin Johnson was targeted 13 times, had 12 receptions for 207 yards.
Yeah.
A touchdown. Who's this character here? I don't even know how to say his name. Joyke Bell or Jacque Bell?
Jacque Bell, yeah.
8 targets, 7 receptions. Who's this character here, too? Now, Titus Young, 7 targets, 4 receptions. But Brandon Pettigrew, 9 targets, 3 receptions. But then again, I'm sorry. You know, a 7-yard game from Calvin Johnson, that doesn't come every day.
Pettigrew's the tight end, yes?
Yes, Brandon Pettigrew is the tight end.
Right.
So, it's just whatever, man. We both got Green Bay.
Yep.
Arizona Cardinals at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are a 10-point favorite, and our good friend Kenny Albert will be the broadcaster for this game.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't have told us how he would have gone on this game. But listen, Atlanta, yeah, they had a little bit of a setback there last week. They lost their first game.
Yes.
10-point favorite over Arizona. You listen, and they're playing at Atlanta. This is a no-brainer. You got to take Atlanta.
Atlanta's going to win this game. They could have won the game against New Orleans. They did not play bad up until the last four plays
Correct.
Of the fourth quarter.
Correct.
That's what killed them. Matt Ryan was phenomenal. To me, this took Matt Ryan and put him in a whole category with some of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Give some credit.
Phenomenal this year.
Give some credit, however, to that New Orleans defense that's been sidelined.
Absolutely. They hounded the Falcons towards the end of the game, and that's what really won it for New Orleans.
Yes.
Also give props to Tony Gonzalez. Man, he's still going strong at his age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a game he had this week.
Yep.
All right, so, I'm going Atlanta as well. I think they'll easily cover the 10-point spread, believe it or not. Cleveland Browns at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys a 7.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go back. We missed.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah.
We'll cover this one.
Yeah.
Cleveland's been looking better as I have said now consistently for the past, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks. They've been looking better. It's Cleveland. Dallas has got something to play for right now. They've got an opportunity with the Giants on the bye. They've got the opportunity to get really, really close to taking over the East here.
Yeah.
It's a game at Dallas. I don't like the line. I think it's actually going to be tighter than that. If you were betting the game, I'd say take Cleveland. But head-to-head, go with Dallas.
Going with Dallas as well. They have something to play for. I think Dallas wins this. I think they win it fairly easily. They win it by a touchdown and a field goal. Mark that down, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Okay, the one I missed. Sorry about this, Mike. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers. Bucks a 1.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
I think the Bucs have been something of, we were talking to Kenny about surprises and disappointments. I was tempted to throw in there and say to him, hey, how about those Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Aren't they a bit of a surprise? They certainly have been to me. This is a Carolina team. I did bring up Carolina to him. I'm going to tell you, I know the game's at Carolina, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay on this.
Yeah, I'm actually taking Tampa Bay as well. Tampa Bay has won three in a row now over Minnesota, Oakland, and San Diego. Barely lost to the New Orleans Saints before that, beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're on a roll right now. I really love Doug Martin. I think he's turning into a great running back. And I think in this game with Carolina's defense, you're going to see Doug Martin have a really big game. Choose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Who we got here? My New York Jets at the St. Louis Rams. Rams, a 3-point favorite, two mediocre teams going at it. Mike, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to be curious to hear how you coming down on this one, Jonathan. The Jets lost horribly last week, 28-7.
Nothing new.
St. Louis, I am completely, despite the fact they ended up with a tie against San Francisco and actually played San Fran very, very tough. I got to tell you, I'm just really unimpressed with the St. Louis Rams. Dude, I got to tell you, I'm going with the Jets on this one.
Oh, my God. Is the apocalypse really happening? Seriously, I can't believe you actually just picked the Jets.
I knew you were going to be a little shocked.
Jets. That's insane.
No.
Listen, St. Louis and 49ers. 49ers did not play good that game. Alex Smith goes out with a concussion. Colin Kaepernick comes in, doesn't really look that great. They got some rushing touchdowns, but then again, you know, Bradford looked pretty good, a 104.1 quarterback rating. Two mediocre teams, I think it's going to go either way. I think the Jets are going to play hard this game, as will the Rams, because, you know, it's going to be the whole Brian Schottenheimer thing here. Was he the problem with New York? Is he the problem now with St. Louis? I think the Jets could actually win this game because it is a team, you know, a team battle of two terrible teams. I think the Jets will win this game.
Oh, really?
Hopefully.
You're picking the Jets as well.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick the Jets. I was leaning a little bit towards the Rams.
Whoa.
I was leaning towards the Rams, Mike. I really was until I realized that, I honestly think that Cromartie and the backs could really hold down Danny Amendola. I think there really is nobody else for him to worry about.
You just had me jump out of my shoes, man. I'm telling you, honestly, you faked me out completely. I thought for sure you were going with St. Louis.
I was thinking about it, but then I started to really look at all the intangibles here, and I have to go with the Jets.
All right.
Indianapolis Colts at the Patriots. Patriots a 9-point favorite. In my opinion, point spread's a little too high. Colts have been looking damn good. Mark, who do you got?
Indianapolis is looking very good, which is why I think the line, which is why I don't think New England will cover the line. However, I think New England wins the game.
Really? I'm going with the Colts. I'm going with the Colts with the upset here. I think the Colts are going to take it. You know what? This is only going to add to the legend of what Andrew Luck is if he can go into Foxborough and beat the New England Patriots in a Week 11 matchup. You know, I'm going with it because it would be an awesome story. So, picking the Colts here, you know, 4 wins in a row for Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, and you know, he looks like he's starting to gel, and he's coming into his game.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, he didn't have a good game last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is a shame because it's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
You know, but they still won 27-10. You know, Darius Butler with 11-yard reception, you know, interception return. Luck ran in for another touchdown, so does he have more rushing touchdowns now than RG3? I mean, you know, is that something we expected?
Actually, I'd have to check the standings on that, but I don't think he does, actually.
Well,
or they're close.
You know, we'll check that and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk it, yeah.
I mean, because honestly, he's branded for quite a few over this four-game win streak.
Yep.
Who else do we got here, Mike? The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans. Texans a whopping 15.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
No lines like that always make me a bit nervous, but, like, you know. I suppose, as we pointed out, it's Jacksonville. I suppose it's possible Houston will cover the line. I'm taking, on a head-to-head, I'm taking Houston.
Great. I got you. Houston as well. They're going to have a monster game, and they're going to cover the point spread easily against Jacksonville.
Yep.
Cincinnati Bengals, who looked amazing against the New York Giants. Andy Dalton came into his own in Week 10 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Cincinnati, 3.5-point favorite. I kind of think that's a little too low here, Mike.
Well, you got to wonder, though, was that a one-hit wonder that we saw last week with Dalton? Interesting. I watched a little bit of that KC game last week, and one of the things that struck me as KC scored a touchdown was all the celebration that was going on in the end zone. Romeo Crennel has come out as of yesterday and said he is sick of it. He doesn't want to see any of his guys celebrating after touchdowns, and I agree with him. I made that very comment. What the hell are you celebrating about? Take Cincinnati on this one.
Yeah, Cincinnati's going to win it. They're going to cover the point spread, especially if Dalton passes the ball and spreads it around like he did against the Giants. To me, the only threat Kansas City has, and they have to look out, stop Jamal Charles on a run because Castle, Dwayne Bowe, Dexter McCluster, not good. Who else we got here? New Orleans Saints, who defeated the undefeated Atlanta Falcons this past week at the Oakland Raiders, 4.5-point favorite. Mike, no-brainer. Who do you got?
Yeah, no-brainer. It's a New Orleans Saints. You know, interesting. I mean, they're 4-5. They win this one. They're 5-5. Could we say that maybe they might be able to work their way into things?
Well, it's definitely a good possibility, Mike. They are 4-5, Tampa Bay is 5-4. They would need to have Tampa Bay lose and to win to tie it. I mean, you know, starting off so miserably in the season, to be at 5-5 at Week 11 with a chance, you know, got to give it to them.
I agree.
You know, they're starting to play really good. So, all right, San Diego Chargers at the Denver Broncos. Broncos a 7.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you have?
Denver all day.
I got you there. I'm with the Broncos as well. Peyton Manning looking good. If you look at the standings and the stats, the Broncos, I believe, have the second most points in the NFL.
Yes, correct.
271, I believe they have, right? Or is that?
And that's what's got me the most points in my fantasy league.
271 points.
It's because my quarterback.
Broncos put up.
Yep, and my quarterback is Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and the defense hasn't been too bad. So,
no, it hasn't.
You know, and they won 4 in a row now. So Denver's definitely taking this game, no doubt about it.
Yep.
Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ravens a 3.5-point favorite. Steelers, they're starting ex-Jaguars quarterback Byron Leftwich. Roethlisberger out.
Yep.
Mike, no-brainer. Who do you got?
Yeah, without Roethlisberger, I think you got to go with Baltimore, huh? I mean, I know Baltimore's got their share. I know Baltimore's got their share of injuries as well. However, they seem to have been compensating for that in the past couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Without Roethlisberger, you got to wonder. I'm going to go out. I'm going to tell you, I originally had Pittsburgh picked, but I changed it just before we went on the air. I'm going with Baltimore.
Same here. Baltimore as well. Joe Flacco's been looking really, really good this year. Ray Rice running in a lot, 7 touchdowns on the year already. But who you got to give props here? Torrey Smith. 31 receptions, 548 yards, 7 touchdowns on the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this guy is becoming Joe Flacco's target.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, go with Baltimore. Monday Night Football, Mike. Chicago Bears at the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers a 5-point favorite. To me, line's high.
This, boy, can Chicago get a break here? I mean, last week they had to play Houston. That was the game of the weekend. This week they're playing at San Francisco. You know, I like my Bears. I got to go with Chicago.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. I'm going with the Bears, 7-2.
What's the status on Alex Smith?
I don't believe Alex Smith is playing. So, you know.
All the more reason to go with Chicago.
Absolutely, but then you also have to look at it, too. You know, the Bears' defense is going to have a field trip chasing down Colin Kaepernick. There's going to be a bunch of sacks. They're not going to get their offense going against the Bears. Bears are going to win this easily. They'll cover the point spread.
Okay.
You know, that's what we have. I mean, you know, with the world of mediocrity here at Fan Junkies Radio.
Well, I don't know. Mediocre. I've got a commanding lead on you now, dude.
Mike, you're mediocre. Sorry to tell you this. Maybe I'll buy you a mediocre gift for Christmas.
There you go.
You know, we can't get any more mediocre than we already are, Mike. You know, seriously. Terrible.
Gotcha.
It's terrible. You know what? Let's talk. You know what? We were going to talk about the NHL Hall of Fame. We have a little over 3 minutes left. Let's talk about Charles Barkley. Something we wanted to talk about the last couple of shows. You know, we have to. Charles Barkley came out and said, listen.
That was, it was last week, right?
Yeah, last week. He goes, ugly women ain't getting a job in sports on TV. You don't see him now.
Yeah.
You know, Charles being Charles, people were going nuts over it, Mike.
People got all upset. They were offended, you know, and.
But he's speaking the truth.
Yeah. That's the funny thing about it. I mean, Charles Barkley gets himself in trouble just by, I mean, and you know, people say this all the time, he doesn't have a filter. Well, I don't know. Is it that he doesn't have a filter, or he's just, you know, just being brutally blunt and brutally honest? I mean, the fact of the matter is everybody's offended by his comment there. But think about it, folks. It's the truth.
Listen, I'm going to go out and say this right now. I'm probably one of the very few people that actually likes Erin Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a great voice. I think she's a great personality. And she does have a lot of knowledge on sports. Can't knock that from her. A lot of people say, oh, it's because of her look she gets TV work, whatever. No, she has a really good knowledge of the game. But if Erin Andrews wasn't almost 6 feet tall and was, let's say, 5'1", 5'2", had a chipped tooth or a black tooth, wasn't that great looking, she wouldn't be on TV. Come on.
No.
You know, that's what radio's for.
No.
A lot of ugly guys on radio. Over here is an example.
Yeah.
You know, Charles being Charles, I don't know why people are in such a tizzy about this.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
You know, but then again, we're in an image conscious world, and you know, it's all about being pretty and stuff, but you can't talk out about it.
Well, it's also the political correctness issue. You know, how dare you, Charles, for making a statement like that? You're being sexist, sort of thing.
Well,
he's not being sexist. He's telling the damn truth.
Listen, you know what?
That's the way corporate America works. Let's get it straight.
I mean, you know what? You can go at it with guys, too. There's really not many ugly people on TV in sports that are males.
Exactly.
You know?
Let's
want to see Sloth from the Goonies.
I'm sitting over here as a prematurely white-haired old man, at least looking that way. Do you think for 1 second that they're going to give me a shot on some local TV station?
I would.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
I would. All right, Mike, we only have a few seconds left. Just want to throw out another thank you to Kenny Albert for joining us today. Phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Talking football, baseball, hockey, you name it. We spoke about it today.
Yep.
If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It'll be posted very soon on fanjunkies.net. Also, go over to frathousesports.net. Check out all of the great content there. Mike just had a nice rant on the Philadelphia Eagles and how he lost his patience.
Yep.
Great stuff there. And once again, thank you. You know, thank everybody for coming and listening. You're making us one of the fastest growing radio shows on Blog Talk Radio.
That we are.
We're having a blast here. So for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all Friday.
Catch you then.